Welcome to another dynamic word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
This morning, the message is going to be aimed more at warning the born-again believer that the devil is up to his tricks, and I'm going to encourage you to embrace a little wisdom, and I'm going to encourage you to do something because you are in the last days. And the Bible tells us that the devil becomes more active. That's my word. That's not the word from the scriptures, but it parallels the intent of God to let you know that the devil becomes more active when he sees that his time is short, when he sees that he's running out of time. And I want you to know that God has revealed to me that the devil is running out of time in my life and running out of time in your life. You are in the last days. In fact, you are not only living in the last days, you are living in the only days you have. Hello. These are the last days for you, because they are the only days that you have been privileged to live on planet Earth. Every generation has but a few days in which to live their lives and to accomplish the will of God for their lives. Today we're going to consider what is in us, and also what is putting pressure on us from the outside? What, or should I say, who is influencing you? What is in you and what is putting pressure on you to influence you to behave, to believe, to say, to embrace things that may or may not be God's will for your life? So first, let's ask the question, what is in us? Let's ask ourselves the question, who are we? Better put, what can you do about you? Okay? What can you do about you? We're going to be going to Psalms chapter 1. The psalmist David wrote in Psalms chapter 1 a very interesting psalm. Let's begin to read it. We'll read the first four verses first. It's a very short psalm. Simply put, reading from the New King James, David wrote, "Blessed is the man or woman. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Verse 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." You know, over the past five decades, I have diligently served the Lord. I have studied His Word. I have prayed mountains of prayers. I've read endless volumes of Holy Scriptures. I've sang enough songs to fill up all the heavens with the praises of God. And I've preached to individuals and multitudes around the world. And after five decades of serving the Lord, I can tell you that there is something that I know for certain. I know this, that there are godly and ungodly people in this world. That's something I know for sure. I know that there are godly people and there are ungodly people. The last two verses of Psalms chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 confirm this again. Verse 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." As I said, there are ungodly people in this world. And unfortunately, just as iron sharpens iron, people influence people. Who we allow in our lives, who we allow to speak into our lives, who we allow to capture our thoughts, who we allow to program our minds, who we allow to take up our time, those that we allow in our lives will either push us to be more like God or will draw us farther away from God. There are ungodly people in this world. We must realize it and recognize it for what it is, that there are people in this world that are bent on, that are sold on, that desire, and they spend their time all day long in ungodliness. And we need to be very careful as born-again believers that we do not idly or nonchalantly walk through this world, that we rather walk circumspectly, realizing that there are people in this world that the devil will use to try to draw us away from God and away from godliness, to embrace ungodly thoughts and acts, deeds and desires. People often imagine that if they could just save one person, it would be enough. Well, remember, you're in the last days, right? Now, let me tell you a truth. You do not get to decide if these are your last days. However, you only get to decide if these are your best days. You don't get to decide if these are your last days. You get to decide if these are your best days. Every day you decide. You don't know. Today could be your last day. I have buried a lot of people as the pastor of this church. I have seen people go through life and live longer than I expected, and I have seen people leave planet Earth quicker than I imagined. You do not get to decide if these are your last days. You only get to decide if they are your best days. And for that reason, I am warning every born-again believer. I'm warning every lost person, get saved, and every born-again believer to clean up and clean out your life. It's very important. As I said, many people imagine that if they could only save one person, it would be worth it. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be worth if you could just lead one person to Christ? Well, you can. It's yourself. Hello? The most important person you will ever save is you. The most important person you will ever witness to is you. The most important person that you will ever help is you, because only you can decide if you are going to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and only you can decide if you're going to clean up your life and throw out that lifeline to others. You are the only one for sure that can make a decision that saves a soul. You cannot make a decision for anyone else. The one person you can save is you. How do you do that? We'll get to that in just a moment. But just hold on to the thought that there are ungodly people in this world. Let's look now at 2 Timothy to get a confirmation of what David wrote. Let's look into the New Testament and let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote to his young son in the faith, Timothy. In 2 Timothy, In chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing what is perhaps his last written words, the last words we have from him. He is writing them to a young preacher. This preacher, we don't know exactly how old he was, but he was probably in his mid-30s or so. And here the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy because Paul feels like he's about to go to heaven. And indeed he is. He's about to have his head cut off, and he wants Timothy to carry on. So he says to Timothy in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "But know this," the Apostle Paul says, "that in the last days perilous times will come." Well, this is the truth. He's writing it to a generation 2,000 years ago. But it has been true for every generation. It is true for us today that in your lifetime, you will experience perilous times. In your last days, you will experience some times in the earth that befuddle you, that make you wonder and confuse you. Every generation has. Every generation has been concerned about the coming generation to wonder if they would inherit a life worth living. It has been incumbent on every generation to read this word just like it was written to us. And so let me pass on to you, my children, as Paul said, my young son, my congregation. Congregants, let me say to you, in your lifetime, you will experience perilous times. Times that make no sense. Times in which things that are done seem so off key and seem so wrong, and you'll back up and wonder why other people cannot imagine it. No generation has escaped this word, and we shall not escape it either. In the last days, in your last days, this is written to you, in your last days, perilous times shall come. Let's read about these perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves. Come on now. You think we're in perilous times? Are you seeing this in your lifetime? That men are lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Have you ever seen a generation that loved money more than this generation? Well, every generation believes that. And it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. We believe that all of a sudden this just happened to us, that we are in some special last days. No, we are in some special hour days. These are not the worst days that God has ever seen. They are just the worst days that we have ever seen. And every generation has the worst days they have seen. Perilous times come to every generation. A time when men are lovers of themselves, whenever our eyes are opened and we realize that there are lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, certainly. No one would be blaspheming. No one would speak evil of God. No one would speak bad of Jesus. No one would point fingers judging and criticizing the work of the church. Oh, yes. In the last days, your last days, you will see blasphemers. You will see people that are disobedient. I can't believe this. Not until the last days would children be disobedient to parents. Are you in the last days with me yet? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, no. Certainly not. If you don't think we're in the last days, you're missing the reading of this. But every generation has faced their last days. And this is our turn. And be warned, dear saint. This was not just a warning to Timothy 2,000 years ago. This is a warning to every born-again believer, every son and every daughter in the faith, that perilous times would come and that men would be slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. Isn't Paul going to get tired of describing our generation? No, he's keeping on. Lovers of haughty, proud, arrogant, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh my goodness. I hope I don't live that long to see that. Who would want to live in that kind of world? Now listen, Paul is not talking about Timothy becoming like this. He's not talking about you becoming like this. He's not talking about you becoming a traitor or a slanderer. He's talking about the people around you in the world. He's describing what the world around us looks like. He's describing what people are like. He's describing the ungodly. People who want to influence you. People who want to get you to believe what they believe. People who want to get you to think what they think. People who want to get you to feel what they feel. And they feel ungodly. And they're slanderous and they're brutal and they're without self-control. And they're proud and they're haughty and they're lovers of money and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And they're trying to get you to sign on to their plan. Come be one of us. You can be like us. You can get what we got. People who want to influence you and draw you away from God and godliness. Verse 5 says, continues, having a form of godliness. Oh my goodness. Do you mean they may look and sound and act like they're godly, but they're really not? Yeah. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The power to change their life. The power to create a new creature in them that only comes from a submission to Almighty God, from a born-again experience. So what's the remedy from such turn away? What's he saying? Don't walk with them. Don't let them influence you. Certainly, we are called by God to shine our lights in a dark place, but we are never called to be drawn into the darkness. We must make sure that we are not drawn by the influence of ungodly people to sign their petitions and to champion their causes because they are seeking after money and pleasures and they're haughty and they're proud and they're arrogant. And they're slanderers. We are not to be drawn into their darkness. There's a difference between fishing and swimming with the fish. Hello. Especially if you're fishing for sharks. There's a difference between letting your light shine and you going into the darkness. Verse 6, if you continued, we won't, for the sake of our time this morning, we won't read all the scriptures, but I encourage you to go back and read them. And verse 6 says, they creep in unaware and lead gullible people away as captives. What do they do? Oh, they're subtle. They creep in unaware and they lead gullible people. Don't be gullible. It's a warning to the born-again believer. Be watchful. A warning to the born-again believer. Because, listen, you can be a believer in Jesus Christ and still be a liar. Stop it. Clean out your life. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Stop walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You can be a believer and still live ungodly patterns and habits of life. Stop it. You don't want to represent a false identity. There are people who will creep in unaware and lead gullible people away captive. they're deceived and driven by ungodly designs, and they just want you to stand with them. For this reason, the Holy Spirit says this. Let me give you some things that you can do, okay? Are you ready? What can you do? Well, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You're going to set a snare for your own soul if you end up bringing your close friend, making close friends with angry people. That's just an admonition from the Lord. It doesn't mean that you don't let your light shine. It doesn't mean that you don't fish. It does mean that you don't create bosom buddies, friendships, close friendships with people who are going to influence you out of people who are ungodly and angry. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's just a confirmation. Evil company corrupts good habits. 2 Timothy 3, if we were to continue what we read verses 4, 5, I quoted a little from 6. On down in verse 13, the Apostle Paul continues, but evil men and imposters, there are imposters out in this world. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. From such people turn away, he said. What does that mean? Well, listen, let me give you the warning. Born-again believer, be warned. As 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Be warned. Be warned that the devil wants to influence you. Born-again believer that you are, the devil still wants you to be on his side. So today, you might be saying, Pastor, what is it that you're trying to leave me with? I'm trying to leave you with a takeaway that God will put in your heart. I'll include Matthew 7, to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. There are godly and ungodly people in this world, and the first person you need to save is you. We should always let our light shine, but we should not be drawn down into darkness. And the best way to not get stuck in an ungodly relationship is to not make one in the first place. All throughout the Word of God, the Bible encourages us to walk circumspectly and to be careful who influences us. Who you allow in your inner circle will push you more toward God or pull you more away. What you listen to on a daily basis is going to influence you. Beware, be warned. And this morning, this is what I wrote in my notes as my last thought. Allow me to pray for us this morning, and let's allow the Holy Spirit to seal His Word and His intent in each one of our hearts. Instead of me giving you a takeaway, I have given you a warning. It's not that God's going to hate you. He's just trying to help you. What did you hear? I'm leaving this with you. Allow me to pray as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. What is your takeaway from today? There are godly and ungodly people. Beware of who's influencing you. Clean up and clean out your life. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're in your last days. Will these be your best days? Beware of the friendships that you make. Don't make friendships with angry people. Let your light shine, but don't be drawn into darkness. It's a dangerous prayer to say to God, Lord, if there's anything in my life that you're not pleased with, if there is someone in my life, Lord, that's causing me to be farther from you, Lord, standing between me and you, God, then, Lord, would you help me to remove that, Lord? Because God will do that. The first person you need to save is yourself. You're able to throw out a lifeline when you can stand strong for Jesus. Father, anoint us, sir. Father, forgive us where we have failed you, Lord. God, I know that the devil, Lord, his time is short, God, and Father, he becomes more active. Lord, I pray in these last days, Lord, as we see the world around us and all of the ungodliness, Lord, that, Father, we would not be influenced, God. We would not be deceived, Lord. That we would realize that bad company corrupts good manners. Good intentions, Lord, are corrupted, Father, by exposing ourselves to all the world and its corruption. Help us, Lord, to be careful, Lord, and watchful what we hear. Lord, clean out our ears, clean out our heart, Lord, and clean out the deception of our mind. Lord, help us to remember sin is sin, Lord, and God, we want no part of it. God, forgive us where we have failed you, Lord. God, bless us, Lord. You know how to preserve the righteous, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for making us a light, but keeping us safe. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Seal your word in our hearts, God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.